Our friend Clyde Edgerton is with us now. You know Clyde is the author of, I think, 10 novels now. Such well-known works as Rainy, Walking Across Egypt, The Bible Salesman, The Night Train. He has written a nonfiction book called Papa Daddy's Book for New Fathers. I just got it in my hands a couple of minutes ago. I haven't even been able to read any of it, but Clyde will tell us all about it. So Clyde Edgerton, thank you so much for making time in your busy, busy day to be with us today.
Thanks to me. I'm really happy to be here. I appreciate your asking me to come by and talk about this book just a little bit. It started out, I guess, in a way, when I was trying to put together a crib. And I finally, after about 4 days, got a crib put together. This is for my oldest son, who's now 10. And once I got it put together, it was so late at night, the newspaper had already slapped into the driveway. And I got it all up on wheels and started rolling it to the baby room. And it wouldn't fit through the hall door.
Oh, no.
So I said, I need to write about this. And I wrote a little piece about it. And then later, Ben George, the editor of Ecotone, was about to have a child. And he asked for a book on fatherhood at some website. And he got back a query which said, do you mean motherhood? Mm-hmm. And he invited 14 or 15 of his friends who were fathers to write an essay that went into the Book of Dads. And I remembered the problems I had with a car seat. And so I started out and finally got the tone right about a car seat and wrote that article and then asked my editor at Little Brown if I could maybe go with a book, see if I could do a book, and I did. So this is just a little piece from the book. A few weeks before the baby is born, go ahead and install the car seat. This could take 1 to 7 days. For safe installation, certain hooks are located out of sight, down in the seat crack where you'd slide your hand if you were looking for something lost. If your car doesn't have these hooks, you are required by law to buy a different car. One of your cousins, or a brother or a sister-in-law, will eventually inspect the installation of the seat and will get very upset because it's too loose or somehow not hooked up right, and they will call the authorities. This relative will be a vegetarian. I don't know why I wrote that down. I did write it down, and then it seems to get laughs, and I can only figure out that the reason it gets laughs is because it's true.
It's just so off the wall. You think, oh, yeah, I know that.
So,
oh my gosh.
Then I say another idea is to get a neighbor father who now has a baby to install your car seat under a bartering system. In exchange, consider offering to remodel his kitchen.
That bad, huh?
So I think these little problems that I encountered anyway in raising three babies, actually four. One is 30, one's 10 now, and one is 8, and one is 6.
30, 10, 8, and 6. Bit of a gap in there. Yeah.
There is a gap. There's a big gap in there. And it's been an exciting adventure that I thought was funny enough in ways and serious enough in ways that I could write about it. Of course, there are many books on parenting, and I wanted this one to be just on fathering. But I hope mothers we'll read it, especially the sections that are for fathers only.
I understand that not only is the book very, very funny, Ben Steelman says it's just side-splitting. His sides hurt after laughing so hard when he was reading it, but also that there's actually some real advice in there, something for new dads to take a look at and say, you know, I hadn't thought about that.
Well, you know, I learned some things and got some advice a little bit late in the game as I was going through the process that was very helpful for me that I realized I wished I'd gotten earlier. And I didn't read a lot of parenting books back then, and I perhaps should have read more. Most of those books are written for mothers, I think, but there are some for fathers and there's some for parents. But so I decided there were, for example, I learned along the way, and I'm not suggesting people take my advice necessarily, but one way to stop a baby from crying, if you can't figure out what's wrong, is just to toss it in the air.
Yes.
If not too high.
Yeah, not too
just
high.
A few,
and not when there's a low
just
ceiling.
Just a few inches, and it kind of goes, and it kind of thinks, whoa, and then it thinks, if it guess what it was crying about, maybe, if you're lucky, and then you're okay. Another thing I discovered, which I would like to have known, is you take a crying baby to the window and say, where's the squirrel? Where's the squirrel? And the baby gets excited about finding the squirrel because, you know, a squirrel is a big deal to a baby, and they forget what they're crying about. So these are some of the almost tongue-in-cheek but sometimes serious kinds of advice. And I also noticed, having lived through the years of having a teenager for the first time, which is can be difficult, the fact that things worked out for me was a relief. Although I had to admit that when a teenager says, I'm leaving and never coming back, sometimes you very quickly think, good.
Yes. But this isn't working too well.
Yeah. But you come back around. And in my case, and I think most cases, the teenager changes in his or her 20s. And it can be a wonderful friendship.
Yeah.
In a way.
And your daughter is 30 now.
She's
a successful musician, I understand.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
So I did try to offer some advice also, but it was a lot of fun to write the book and to be able to talk to parents about it and confess that there's much less known than is more known. And I think some of the books on parenting assume almost a formulaic procedure. If you do A and B, you get C. Mm-hmm. And I think many of us distrust that kind of technique thinking.
I think it's not quite that cut and dried or quite that well organized either. When you have a baby in your arms, it's not going to be steps 1, 2, and 3. It's
right.
going to be steps 1 and then step 9. Nobody told me about step 9 and why is it coming out of order?
Right, you know? Exactly.
If you're just joining us, you're hearing the voice of Clyde Edgerton. His latest book is called Papa Daddy's Book for New Fathers. The book launch is tonight at Old Books on Front Street, right across from WHQR. And so he'll be there reading from the book and signing copies of it, Papa Daddy's Book for New Fathers. You became a new father with this. The latest, when did that happen? About what age were you? I don't want to pin you down too much.
Well, the last one I was 62.
Wow.
And the one before that, 61. And the one before that, 58, I believe. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
How different is it at that age, being a father, as opposed to when you had your first daughter at age 30?
Well, I think, I must say, in general, I think if you're healthy, and I'm lucky, knock on wood, I'm healthy, so I don't feel much older than I did earlier. I don't recall. That's the only other thing is I can't remember anything anymore.
No, actually, and maybe that's a blessing.
So I'm lucky that I have good health, and I believe I have a better perspective somehow. I think maybe I'm a little more patient, although I do lose my patience, but I think I'm more patient. I think I have the big picture a little better. I think I understand how important it is to get down on a child's level and look them in the eye and listen, and to also try to find that combination of structure and freedom that will help them experience being a child in a full way. So I have some perspective that I didn't have before, and I try to bring some of that to the book.
That's beautifully said, Clyde. It makes me think about the little girl next door to me who is 8 or 9 now. And sometimes if I'm out in the garden, she'll come out and talk to me. And she just wants to talk and talk and talk and talk and have somebody listen. And I can't always keep up with when she's off on some plot from a book that she's reading. But I stay engaged enough. Oh, that sounds interesting. And just stay with her. And she's so happy just to talk and have someone be with her. We're digging in the dirt and I'm listening.
And when what she thinks of what she's doing, it can be very refreshing. I think it's easy to get sentimental about a lot of this business of parenting, and I try to work against that in ways that are not the sentimentality when it's not helpful. But I think most any adult cannot help but get excited when a child comes up with a viewpoint or a question. I mean, seeing a cow for the first time, I mean, that's a capital C, capital O, capital W. And if you're kind of used to seeing cows, it can be a good experience to see a cow as if for the first time.
Yeah.
I had couple of years ago, all three were at the cusp of an open casket at a funeral for my aunt, their first open casket funeral. I mean, I experienced a bunch of them, but there they were. And it was very quiet. And my middle one turned and said, "Is she dead?" And I said, "Yes." And my little one said something that I couldn't hear. And I leaned over and I said, "What?" And she said, "Was she always dead?"
Wow.
And I thought, well, that's an interesting question.
Oh,
and that makes sense from the point of view of a 5-year-old exactly. looking at what she was looking at. Didn't make a lot of sense from an adult point of view, but it was a fascinating question. Mm-hmm. And those questions, when they pop up, or those insights, can be great.
Clyde, we just have a couple minutes left. Can you read another little passage?
I think I'll read from the section. I was so lucky that Dee Perry found lice in my youngest child's head just before this book was finished. And so I had to write about that experience. It's right here on page 114, I think. So I say, when you answer a call on your cell phone from a teacher or a counselor or your wife that your child has head lice, the conversation will start like this. Are you sitting down? Then I go on to talk about how your wife will leave for her uncle's home in Tampa, Florida about this time, and you'll be left with the instructions about what to do, and you'll try several sets of instructions. And then finally, you must consider the following. Number one, burn down your home and move into another that's at least 6 miles away.
Oh, it's great. I bet you've had a lot of fun writing this.
I did. I did have a lot of fun.
Because it really is based on things you've experienced and things that made you laugh in the moment or made you groan in the moment but were funny afterwards.
That's correct.
So the book launches tonight at 7:30 at Old Books on Front Street, Clyde Edgerton's latest. It's called Papa Daddy's Book for New Fathers, a nonfiction work. And I have been told it contains not only the stories but some songs and some games. Thank you so much for popping in today and giving us a little flavor of the book, a little taste.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. This is WHQR.